Tell me my story, challenging the narrative of service before self. The call to service. I've always been drawn to helping others. It's a calling that many of us feel, this desire to make a difference in the world. For 20 years, I worked in humanitarian aid, dedicating my life to serving refugees and asylum seekers. I thought I was living my purpose, doing meaningful work that mattered. But over time, I began to realize the toll this work was taking on me. We're often told that service requires sacrifice, that to truly help others, we must put their needs before our own. It's a noble ideal, but one that can lead us down a dangerous path. As I traveled the world, bearing witness to trauma and human suffering, I slowly lost pieces of myself. I pushed aside my own needs, ignoring the signs of burnout and vicarious trauma. I thought this was simply the price of doing good in the world. But what if there's another way? What if the path of service could be one of healing and growth, not just for those we help, but for ourselves as well? This book is an invitation to challenge the narrative of service before self and explore a more sustainable, human-centered approach to making a difference. The hidden costs of helping. I'll never forget the moment it all came crashing down. I was in a hotel room in Zambia, having just finished a grueling refugee resettlement mission. As I sat there alone, the weight of everything I'd seen and experienced suddenly overwhelmed me. I broke down sobbing, my body shaking uncontrollably. In that moment, I realized I couldn't go on like this. For years, I had prided myself on my ability to compartmentalize. I thought I could listen to stories of war, violence, and loss without being affected. But the truth is, every time I sat across from someone sharing their trauma, I was unknowingly revisiting my own unhealed wounds. The stories of separated families echoed my own experiences of immigration and cultural displacement. Tales of abuse and violence stirred up memories I had long buried. This is the reality for so many in helping professions. We absorb the pain and suffering of those we serve, often without realizing it. Over time, it builds up, leading to compassion fatigue, moral injury, and burnout. We start to feel numb, disconnected from the very work that once inspired us. And because we've internalized this idea that our own needs don't matter, we push through, ignoring the warning signs until our bodies and minds force us to stop. Rewriting our stories. To heal, we must first acknowledge the stories we tell ourselves. The narrative that says we're not doing enough, that our worth is tied to our productivity and sacrifice. These beliefs often have deep roots, shaped by our upbringing, culture, and experiences. I grew up in an immigrant family where hard work and self-sacrifice were prized above all else. My parents had given up everything for a better life, and I felt a constant pressure to justify their sacrifices. This translated into a relentless drive to achieve and help others, often at the expense of my own well-being. But what if we could rewrite these stories? What if we could embrace a narrative that values our humanity as much as our service? This isn't about abandoning our commitment to others. It's about recognizing that we can only give our best when we're coming from a place of wholeness and strength. In the book, I share exercises and reflections to help identify and challenge these limiting beliefs. One powerful practice is to write out your shaping stories, the key experiences and messages that have formed your worldview. By bringing these unconscious narratives to light, we can begin to question their validity and choose new, more empowering beliefs. The power of boundaries and self-care. Learning to set boundaries was one of the hardest, yet most transformative parts of my journey. In the humanitarian world, there's often an unspoken expectation of constant availability. Emergencies don't wait for office hours, after all. But this always-on mentality is unsustainable and ultimately harmful to both ourselves and those we serve. I had to learn that saying no or not right now doesn't make me selfish or less committed to the cause. It makes me more effective in the long run. This might mean setting clear work hours, taking regular breaks, or being selective about which projects I take on. It's about quality over quantity and recognizing that we're not superhuman. Self-care isn't just about bubble baths and massages, though those can be nice too. It's about creating daily practices that nourish our body, mind, and spirit. For me, this includes meditation, journaling, and regular check-ins with a therapist. It's also about cultivating relationships and interests outside of work, so that our entire identity isn't wrapped up in our role as a helper. One practice I encourage readers to try is creating a self-care emergency kit. This is a list of small, doable actions you can turn to when you're feeling overwhelmed or depleted. It might include things like taking a 5-minute walk, calling a friend, or doing some deep breathing exercises. Having this toolkit ready can make a big difference in moments of stress. Creating human-centered workplaces. While individual practices are crucial, we also need systemic change. Many organizations and the helping professions still operate on outdated models that prioritize output over employee well-being. But there's a growing recognition that this approach is not only harmful to individuals, but also counterproductive to the mission. I've seen firsthand how creating more human-centered workplaces can transform both the employee experience and the quality of service provided. This might look like flexible work arrangements, mental health support, regular check-ins focused on well-being, not just productivity, and training on topics like vicarious trauma and burnout prevention. One organization I worked with implemented a buddy system where team members were paired up to support each other and check in regularly. This simple practice created a culture of mutual care and helped people feel less isolated in their struggles. Another introduced mandatory recovery days after intense field assignments, recognizing that time for processing and rest is essential, not a luxury. Leaders play a crucial role in modeling these behaviors. When those in charge prioritize their own well-being and openly discuss challenges, it gives permission for others to do the same. It's about creating an environment where vulnerability is seen as strength, not weakness. A new way forward. As I reflect on my journey, I'm filled with hope for the future of humanitarian work and other helping professions. I see a growing movement of individuals and organizations recognizing the need for a more sustainable, human-centered approach to service. This isn't about abandoning our commitment to making a difference. It's about finding a way to serve that honors our own humanity as much as those we help. When we take care of ourselves, we have so much more to give. We show up with greater presence, compassion, and resilience. My hope is that this book will spark conversations and inspire change, both on a personal and organizational level. That it will give voice to the struggles many helpers silently endure and offer a roadmap for a more sustainable path forward. To those of you who have dedicated your lives to serving others, your work matters immensely. But you matter too. Your well-being is not secondary to the mission, it is essential to it. By embracing this truth and challenging the old narratives, we can create a world where both helpers and those they serve can truly thrive. Remember, healing our own stories is not selfish. It's what allows us to show up as our best selves, for ourselves, our loved ones, and those we serve. So I invite you to join me in reimagining what it means to be a humanitarian, a helper, a changemaker. Let's write a new story together, one of sustainable service, collective care, and shared humanity.